In luminous blue letters, EMI. The letters fade. Two spinning tape reels, one red and one blue, merge to become one large red reel. As it spins, it scatters letters across the screen. Nat Cohen presents for Anglo EMI Film Distributors Limited. England, 1929. A dandelion grows up through stones on a train track in the English countryside. A steam train chugs by, puffing white clouds from its funnel. Three suitcases, two brown, one wicker, rest in an overhead compartment in a carriage. There are framed landscape paintings and a lamp on one wall. Sitting in the carriage are slim, flaxen-haired 40-something Mrs. Walker and her five children. Curly-haired toddler Vicky sits on a nanny's lap. John and his younger brother Roger sit opposite their sisters Titty and Susan. Roger.
Where are we?
We'll be long now.
Mrs. Walker looks at Titty and Susan, who are sitting beside her. Chestnut-haired Susan is sewing, and mousy-haired Titty is staring out of the window.
The endless trek through the Sahara Desert. See the camels bravely plod through the sand.
Titty!
At least camels don't need water. When I was a child, we had thousands of sheep that died during the drought.
In Australia?
Yes.
Sheep must be quite pleased to be English.
Do they have sheep in China?
Of course.
Well, even if Daddy misses this holiday, he'll see Chinese sheep when he gets to Hong Kong.
Where is he now, Mother?
His boat's in Malta, waiting for orders to sail.
I expect he'd rather be with us.
Of course he would. He loves the lakes. He'd be showing you everything. He'd say, "Just look at that scenery."
They enter a tunnel. A handsome green motor car delivers them to the door of a quaint white house with creepers growing up the walls. Chubby Mrs. Jackson comes out and opens a car door for them.
Please, can we go exploring?
It's a little late.
But it's still light.
We won't be long.
All right, but it'll soon be supper time.
Hello, sir. Hello.
A man with two horses. The children sprint off into an open field at the rear of the building. They come to the edge of the field and look out over a large lake. In its centre is a small island of lush vegetation. The placid lake is enclosed by majestic mountains, and gentle ripples play on the surface of the water. The children gaze gleefully at the island, then share excited looks. A Theatre Projects film production. Arthur Ransom's Swallows and Amazons. Roger, John, Titty and Susan push a boat named Swallow onto the lake.
Dear Father, we arrived safely. Mother says I'm to ask your permission to build a camp on the island on the lake. We have found a boat that will be quite suitable for the voyage. Hope you have a happy voyage to Hong Kong. Please answer soon. With love, John.
P.S. And Susan.
If we wreck ourselves on a coral reef, we will go down bravely. Not we will. Please, love, Titty.
Please, Daddy, may I go too?
Roger runs around in the field. With one arm stretched out at his side, he races through ankle-high grass, buttercups and daisies. The distant figures of his siblings can be seen by the tree-lined lake. Mrs. Walker comes out of the large house.
Roger!
Roger runs in a zigzag to his mother, then pretends to drop anchor and moor up. Mrs. Walker smiles. She's holding an envelope.
Well sailed.
Is it the answer? Does it say yes?
She takes a telegram from the envelope and reads,
"If not Duffers..."
Roger, who regards it with a puzzled expression, then looks at his mother.
Does that mean yes?
I think so.
But does that mean me too?
Yes, if John and Susan will take you, and if you do as you're told.
Shall I go and tell the others?
All right. Don't be late for supper. And don't wake Vicky when you come in.
He sprints down the hill to John and Susan, who are sitting on the grass. Titty joins them.
Dispatches?
Yes, and for me too!
So it must be for Titty as well.
Read it aloud.
Better
better drown than duffers. If not, duffers won't drown. Hurrah for Father!
What does it mean?
It means that Father thinks we won't drown, but if we do, good riddance.
But what does duffers, if not duffers, mean?
No, you're wrong. It says, if we were duffers, we might as well be drowned. Then it stops and starts again, saying, as we are not duffers, we won't drown.
But why doesn't he just say yes?
In the kitchen, Susan draws a line through an item on a list and puts 3 bars of soap in a tin box. Elsewhere, John puts a telescope in a box and inspects a compass. Titty is sewing a flag. Roger joins Susan and Mrs. Jackson in the kitchen to find Susan rolling eggs up in newspaper and putting them in the tin box.
Mrs. Jackson, can we borrow a frying pan?
Yes, certainly, love.
Mrs. Jackson takes a frying pan over to Susan at the table.
I'm best at buttered eggs.
Are you really? Most folk are best at boiled.
I don't really count boiled.
You see, on rocky ground, stones are better than pegs for holding tents down. Except in a high wind. Father and I often used to sleep in one when we were young.
Are you really old?
Not really. It's just I was younger then.
They're constructing a makeshift tent in the lounge. It collapses on Roger. The children are in bed. John and Susan are the eldest. John reads a book on sailing. Susan reads Another 700, a book about cookery and recipes. Titty reads Robinson Crusoe. Roger has his head down on the pillow. He gets comfy and nods off. Day. Titty's blue swallow flag flies high on the boat's mast.
Hoist the sail, Mr. Mate. Aye, aye, sir.
John and Susan heave on a rope to hoist the main sail.
Here comes good Queen Bess to see us off on our voyage to the Pacific.
Captain Drake.
John.
Pull the boom down. That'll get those cross wrinkles out.
I wonder if the real Queen Elizabeth knew much about ships.
That Queen Elizabeth wasn't brought up close to Sydney Harbour.
All aboard. Come on, let's go.
Right. Have you got everything?
I've checked the list.
Everything?
She proffers a box of matches.
One might almost say by gum. We couldn't have lit a fire without them.
Safe voyage. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The children push off in the small sailboat and their mother waves to them from the shore. The nanny holds Vicky in her arms.
Three cheers for the Stareholmes! Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip! Hooray!
Goodbye!
Adieu and farewell to the first Spanish ladies. Adieu and farewell to you ladies of Spain. For we're under orders for to sail to old England, and we may never see you fair ladies again.
We will really, though.
Toothy, dark-haired Roger sits at the prow. At the stern sits his older brother John. John and Susan tug on ropes to turn the sail, ducking down to avoid the boom as it swings across the boat. Titty gets comfy in the middle as they head for the island.
Here we are, intrepid explorers, making the first ever voyage into uncharted waters. What mystery shall they hold for us? Dark secrets shall be revealed.
Across the boat. The boat sails swiftly across the lake. Crockery and cutlery lie in a basket in the middle beside the tin box of provisions. Sandy-haired Titty checks the ropes are secure. A flock of geese rises from the water in a frenzy as they draw near. Roger looks through the telescope. He spots a big long boat approaching close ahead.
Look, John! Over there! Steam ahead!
Come on, to go about! Hurry about!
The uniformed captain turns the ship's wheel and the boat whistles past in front of them. Passengers on board the boat wave at the children. The boat sails off into the distance. Titty glares after it.
Natives!
The children's boat glides along the lake. They each look up proudly at the small triangular flag with the blue swallow on it.
A ship! A ship!
It's a houseboat!
What's a houseboat?
A boat which you live in, like a house.
I wish we lived in a houseboat all the year round.
Father does.
That's different. He's in the Royal Navy.
A destroyer isn't like a houseboat.
They live in it all the same.
What's that man doing?
Using the telescope.
I can't see.
Why not?
I can't see anything.
Take the cap off the end.
Roger removes the cap and takes a look at the man on the houseboat.
Oh, he's writing.
Let me have the telescope. He's got a parrot. He's probably a retired pirate.
Pirates always have parrots.
He's working on his devilish crimes.
It's my turn now.
He takes the telescope back and looks through it. He spots a small cannon.
He's got a cannon! He is a pirate!
Keep still, you two, you'll turn us over.
Ahead of them is a smaller island covered with trees and bushes.
There's another island.
Titty looks through the telescope.
They've got India rubber necks.
What? What can you see?
Cormorants. He must be near the coast of China. The Chinese have cormorants. They train them to catch fish for them. Daddy sent me a picture.
They're fishing now.
Look! Land ahoy! Land ahoy!
Stand by to go about.
Ready? About!
They turn the sail.
Keep a lookout for a good landing place.
Aye, aye, sir.
And keep a good lookout for savages, too.
Boy, Roger, sing out like anything if you see any rocks under the water.
Aye, sir!
They approach the rocky bank of the leafy island, and Susan feeds the rope through her hands. The sail turns. Susan points towards the island.
How about there for a landing place?
Let's try.
Stand by to go about. Ready? About!
Once again, John and Susan turn the sail from one side of the boat to the other, ducking under the wooden boom as they do so. The wind fills the sail, pushing them towards dry land. Roger looks out from the prow with a toothy grin. The island draws closer.
Get the painter.
Roger leaps out of the boat with a mooring rope. The water comes up to his ankles. He drags the boat onto the gravelly bank and trails the rope around a tree. He pulls it tight and endeavours to tie it around the tree trunk.
Susan, you come forward and take this halyard. Lower away!
Roger struggles with the knot as the others lower the sail and lash it to the beam supporting it. Susan carries the basket of crockery onto dry land and sets it down.
Don't let's unpack now, let's explore.
Titty and John spring off the wooden boat and they all race up a path towards the inland forest. Titty stops on the path and pauses, then runs back down to the boat and picks up the wicker basket.
Might be a tidal wave.
She moves it a few feet up the gravel bank, then races on after the others. Roger comes out by a tall tree by the water's edge. John runs over to the tree and peers up it.
Properly, we ought to have a flagpole on the top.
What for?
To hoist the flag. For a signal.
It would make a superb lighthouse. If any of us were sailing home after dark, we could hoist a lantern up there.
We've got a lantern. We haven't got any rope, though.
We could get some. Good idea.
Let's go look for a camp now.
OK, we'll split up. Roger, you go that way. Susan, that way.
Titty, you go that way and I'll go this way.
The children run off in different directions. Susan clambers up an incline towards some trees. Titty makes her way along a path at the water's edge. John ducks under a branch. Susan clings to a tree trunk as she picks her way among awkward tree limbs. Roger squeezes past some thorny branches and rubs his cheek as he clomps onward through fallen leaves. He rises to the crest of a small ridge and looks down.
Hey!
John turns.
Hey!
Titty and Susan turn too. Roger stands looking around a clearing in the trees. John is the first to arrive, then Susan, and finally Titty.
What a lovely place for a camp.
Well done, Roger.
Roger squints at the charred remains of a campfire in the middle of the clearing. He wanders over to it and looks back at the others.
Natives.
Well, a native certainly knew how to choose the right place.
Suppose they're still here.
John crouches by the charred lumps of wood.
These ashes look pretty old to me. I think we're safe.
Come on, let's fetch the tents.
They scamper off. John ties a rope between two trees in the clearing, and Susan throws a tent over it. Titty collects small twigs and branches from the ground. She has a big handful. Roger picks up two twigs and returns to camp, where Susan and John are arranging the tent.
You'll need much more than that.
Roger toddles off. John picks up a rock and tucks it into a turnip on the tent sheet to weigh it down. Roger collects as many twigs as he can hold. He puts them down and tugs in vain at a root protruding from the earth. He pulls with all his might, but it won't budge. He falls over. Back in the clearing, two tents have been erected and the camp is all set up. Roger returns, his arms filled with small branches. He looks around with a puzzled expression as his siblings appear to have vanished. He spots them hiding in a tent and smiles, then runs over and joins them inside.
Lovely! You can see the fireplace from inside.
Everything's all right, apart from the landing place, everybody can see it.
Titty, let's go and see if we can find a better harbour.
Oh, I'd better have the whistle.
John takes it from Susan and scurries off. Titty follows him.
Oh, can I come?
No. You fill a kettle and I'll unpack.
Roger emerges from behind a tree carrying a kettle full of water. He sets it down on the tin box by the fire, which Susan has now got going. She looks at the kettle.
That's got scum in it!
Roger frowns.
Come on, I'll show you how to do it.
They go off with the kettle. Titty and John make their way through dense foliage.
We ought to have bought machetes like Red Indians use.
Ow!
She spikes her finger on a prickly plant. The two of them come out by a small cove. They stare down at the cove from a rocky promontory.
Let's get Swallow.
Susan.
Look, all you have to do is put the spout in the water and no scum comes in.
She dips the spout of the kettle into the shallows. Titty and John board the Swallow. Back at camp, Susan cracks an egg into a small white bowl. Roger grabs a jug filled with cutlery and sets it down on a picnic blanket, which has been laid with four plates. He proceeds to lay the cutlery out by each plate. Susan whisks two eggs in the bowl. Titty leans forward at the prow of the Swallow as John stands at the stern, driving it forward with an oar. Their wavy reflections play on the surface of the water. They use an oar each to guide the boat into the cove. Back at camp, Roger is cutting an enormous slice from a loaf of bread. Susan removes the kettle from over the fire. Roger sneakily eats a bit of bread. Susan bangs two pans together above her head. Hearing the whistle, she and Roger leave camp.
I expect someone hid on the island hundreds and hundreds of years ago and kept their boat here.
It's a perfect place for keeping spoilers safe at night.
It's marvellous, but why didn't we see it before?
Oh, the rock skirts are far.
John, why have you put this cross here?
On a tree stump.
I didn't. It must have been there already.
Natives again. Or cannibals. This marks a spot where they ate 6 missionaries.
Oh, the teal's spoiled. Come on.
They run off, leaving Roger to moor up the swallow. They all eat back at camp. Susan picks up the frying pan to dish up some eggs and accidentally catches Roger with it. He quickly retracts his hand.
I'm sorry.
John's writing.
We can begin our chart tomorrow and put on everything we discover.
We'll invent our own names.
Of course we will.
Susan.
Roger, eat your apple.
Faster.
Yes. Mother says we must eat plenty of green things or else we'll all get scurvy.
What is scurvy?
Sailors die from it like flies.
Roger looks worried and promptly grabs an apple from a basket. He takes a big bite and Susan smiles. Night. The children are bedded down in their tents, which are lit by lanterns. Titty's writing her diary. In the other tent, Roger gets comfy next to John, who's reading. John sits up.
Are you all right, Susan, Titty?
Aye, aye, sir!
Is the boy all right?
He's all right, Mr. Mate.
You ready for lights out yet?
Yes!
Titty closes her jotter.
Lights out! Good night!
Good night!
They blow out the candles in their lanterns, and their tents are cast in darkness. Morning breaks and Titty stares up at the patterns of leaves and branches pressing against the roof of the tent. She smiles and glances at Susan, who's sleeping. Titty takes her diary from beneath her pillow and takes a pencil from a small wooden pencil box. She clambers out of the tent wearing stripy pajamas and crosses by the fireplace in her bare feet. She scurries up onto a rock by a mound of roots at the foot of a tree. From this vantage point, she stares out at the lake. Two ducks dip their heads down into the water and disappear. She hops down off the mound and wipes the lid of a tin box with the tissue before sitting down on it. She starts to write in her diary, then turns to see Roger emerging from the boys' tent.
Hello, where's Susan?
Asleep.
No, she isn't. And she's going bathing. Time to get the milk, John.
Susan sprints out of the girl's tent in her bathing costume. She runs straight to the lake and dives in. John puts a jug in the boat, which he then pushes out onto the water. Wearing a red bathing costume, Titty joins Susan in the lake. Roger runs in up to his ankles and chickens out.
It's cold!
Now Titty takes me out!
Carrying the milk jug, John hurries through the field of buttercups behind the house. Frisian cows graze on the slope behind him. He passes through a wooden gate by some farm buildings. In a dairy, a blonde middle-aged woman ladles milk into John's jug from a churn. She smiles at John and hands him the jug.
Have mine now. If there's anything else you want, don't be afraid to come and ask for it.
A man enters.
Grandmother, we're having.
Shoo. You just get those dirty boots out of my clean dairy.
Oh, well, good morning. Here, you want some?
Tobacco?
No, bless you. Bait. But when you go fishing, could be to perch down by the weeds.
The children fish from their boat, which floats by a bed of reeds.
How far down's your hook, Susan?
Just about as far as my float will let me.
Mine's only 3 feet down.
That's no good. Should be about a foot from the bottom. Reel it in and I'll push your float up for you.
Titty reels her line in and John stands to reposition her float.
John, your float's gone!
John grasps his rod and winds it in. He lifts the rod, bringing a fish up out of the water. It dangles from the end of his line. John carefully removes his hook from the fish's bottom lip. He puts the fish down in the bottom of the boat. Titty and Roger sit back down and continue fishing. An enormous fish takes Roger's bait. Roger collapses as the fish gets away.
Do you think it's really safe to bathe in this place?
Susan scrapes a fish.
I wouldn't like to be a fish.
They're standing on rocks in the shallows. Titty holds a fish too. Susan guts the fish she was scraping.
But I'd like to be a fish swimming underwater.
Titty stares her fish in the eye as Susan pulls the innards from the other one.
You'll be like that soon.
After dinner, the children sit around their empty plates. Titty's drawing a map.
It'll have to be Arctic for the north and Antarctic for the south. What should we call the town?
Why not Rio?
Why Rio?
Because of the song, Away to Rio.
What about the bay where we fished?
Dixon's Bay. It's very near the farm.
Roger looks disappointed.
No. Shark Bay. Because of Roger's great fish.
What do we call the place where we saw the houseboat?
In this bay here.
Houseboat Bay.
Hmm. I wonder if the retired pirate is working on his treasure charts.
He's typing in his luxurious houseboat.
Do you think he's the only retired pirate on board?
Oh, maybe others below deck. Slaves, he gets to do all the dirty work. He has an easy life, I bet.
A firework goes off like a bomb on the roof of the houseboat.
Come on!
The kids run to a lookout point as the startled man on the houseboat stamps the firework out. It was placed there by a child's hand.
He must have fired his cannon! Look over there! Who are those two boys?
Get down. They may be enemies.
Ow!
They duck down as another small sailboat approaches. Roger removes a pin from his shirt and hands it to Susan. The kids on the boat fly a skull and crossbones flag.
The pirates!
Let's chase them.
Let's. Come on, then.
The children scamper off and tear through the forest. They run down to the swallow.
It's their pirate. Why did the pirate on the houseboat fire at them?
Perhaps he didn't.
He must have. He's got a cannon and the others haven't.
They're going round the island. Let's go that way and hit them off.
The pirates sail away from the island. Swallow heads after them. Standing on the roof of his houseboat, the middle-aged man shakes a fist in the air angrily.
What's he waving?
He's not waving, he's very angry.
The pirate kids wear floppy red hats. The children stare after them.
A-M-A-Z-O-N
Amazon!
Hurry, hurry, we're losing them!
They must be making for Rio.
A brass band plays in a bandstand in a park by the lake. Wooden boats lie on gravelly stones at the water's edge. Swallow is heading for land, but the other boat, the Amazon, is nowhere to be seen. The children look around as they draw near to a harbour where various small boats are moored.
They've given us the slip.
Let's go and explore here!
We could buy the rope for the lighthouse tree.
Titty beams. John rows the boat up alongside a wooden jetty. Roger leaps up onto the jetty and ties the boat to it as the others disembark.
Roger, you stay here and look after Swallow.
Beware of natives!
John, Titty and Susan run off up the jetty. In a shop, Susan strokes a black cat as Titty browses a rack of postcards. A shopkeeper emerges with a length of rope. John strokes a ginger tomcat at the counter.
And 4 bottles of grog, please.
The mustachioed shopkeeper looks startled.
Ginger beer.
It's a lovely day.
Yes, isn't it?
John eyeballs him. They collect their goods from the counter and leave the shop. Titty carries the drinks and John the rope. Smiling, the three siblings head back towards the harbour. They process down the wooden jetty to the Swallow, where they rejoin Roger.
Anything to report, boy Roger? A native came along and said, "That's a fine boat you've got there."
What did you say?
I said, "Yes."
Susan hands Roger a brown paper bag, and he reaches into it.
Roger, put them back there for supper.
Back at camp, Roger crams an iced bun into his mouth and takes a big bite. He chomps away, with sticky icing around his chops.
Natives are quite good at some things.
You are a greedy little pig, Roger.
They sit eating.
Why did the native on the houseboat shake his fist at us today?
Perhaps this is his island.
What was that?
Oh, nothing. Probably a bird.
If this is his island, then why doesn't he live on it?
Titty shrugs.
Much nice for his parrot.
An arrow lands in the fire. Roger picks it up.
Don't touch the point, it might be poisoned.
Shh. It's him again. He's winged his arrows with that poor parrot's feathers.
Shut up, Titty.
We'll spit that and search. We'll need a signal.
One hoot like an owl means it's all right. Three hoots means something's up. Come on, I'll take the landing place.
Come on, Roger.
They split up and run in different directions. John cups his hands around his mouth and makes a hooting noise. He hears the other hooting as he descends a slope. He comes out on the pathway and his eyes widen. He runs down to the small shingle beach where Swallow was.
Swallow's gone!
Titty and Roger join Susan and John on the beach. They look around for the boat.
Me and Roger pulled her right up.
She couldn't have drifted off.
A knife lies gleaming on the pebbly ground. Roger hurries over and picks it up. John takes it from him and inspects it. John and the others run back to camp to investigate. They walk past the tents and the smouldering campfire, looking around for intruders. Finding nobody at camp, they proceed through a gap in the trees down a shallow slope. Roger holds a stick at his shoulder like a spear.
Halt!
Hands up!
Down your faces!
They drop to the ground as arrows go whistling overhead. The children look back towards camp, but there's nobody there. Titty grabs a branch from the ground. Two skinny girls in floppy red hats emerge from the tents with bows and arrows.
The Amazons.
They glare.
They're girls!
One fires an arrow.
Stand up. Now hands up.
Before we reload, charge!
Halt! A parley!
All right then. No tricks. What have you done with our ship?
Where's Swallow?
She's our prize. She's in our harbour.
Our harbour? Your harbour? How long have you been here?
Days and days.
This is Wildcat Island. It's been our island for years and years.
Who built the fireplace?
Who marked the harbour?
A white cross. Anybody can put a white cross on a tree.
Shows it's our island.
You don't even know how the harbour's marked.
We do.
The Amazons smirk at each other.
Come on then, let's parley. Weapons down.
The older of the two Amazons throws down her bow and arrow. Titty throws down her tree branch and John tosses the knife down. The younger Amazon throws in her bow and arrow.
Peggy, you donkey, they've got our knife.
I found it.
It's our knife. It was a present from Uncle Jim. We polished the cannon on his houseboat.
Shut up, Peggy.
Is he your uncle? We thought he was a retired pirate.
That's quite a good thing for him to be, really.
He can be Captain Flint.
But you're pirates too.
That's why he hates us. He knows what pirates are.
It's time for the parley. I'm John Walker, master of the Swallow. Susan, mate.
Able Seaman Titty and the boy Roger.
I'm Nancy Blackett, master and part owner of the Amazon.
The terror of the seas.
This is Peggy Blackett, mate and part owner of the same.
Her name isn't Nancy really, it's Ruth. But Uncle Jim says the Amazons were ruthless.
I'll shiver your timbers for you if you don't stop chattering, Peggy.
Nancy looks at the swallows.
Let's be allies against Captain Flint and all the natives.
You see, Captain Flint used to be friendly, but now he's worse than any native because he's writing a book and he says he hasn't time for us.
If we're allies, it doesn't matter who the island belongs to.
John and Nancy shake hands, down at the cove.
You see, there ought to be two marks.
The marked tree stump.
But two white crosses would be too easy for anyone to guess.
Well, what's your other mark, then?
Nancy smiles and climbs the leafy incline.
This tree here. When you want to sail into the harbour, you keep the cross here and the tree in a straight line, and you'll come clean through the rocks.
He bought the parrot in Zanzibar. He's been all over the world, you know. Mother said he was the black sheep of the family. Last year, he came home, and he said he'd gathered enough moss and meant to settle here. Mother's his sister, you know. Last year, he was one of us, and even bought us Amazon. This year, he said he was writing a book and refused to join in. He's in league with the natives. We've tried everything to wake him up, but it's no good. It's ended by him forbidding us ever to go near him.
Did he really fire at you today?
No, that was us.
It was the most marvellous bang left over from last November.
It was a jolly good bang.
Let's plan a combined attack on Captain Flint.
We'll be captain.
I will, of course.
John's our captain.
There can only be one captain. It should be me. There are more of us swallows than there are you Amazons.
Let's fight for it. We'll try and capture each other's ships.
That'll be good practice.
Whoever wins will be flagship.
John nods.
We'll win. But where do you keep your boat?
You go north across the wide open sea till you come to our river.
The Amazon. Then you'll see our boathouse, and that's where we live.
That night in their tent.
The only trouble is, the Amazons know the lake much better than we do.
Yes, like those marks in the harbour.
If there was only something we could do, and they couldn't, that would be a help.
John's doodling.
Got it! Leading lights.
Roger, go into our tent and get the lantern. Oh, and bring a hammer and two large nails.
Roger stands above the cove with a lantern. On the lake, John and Susan approach in the swallow. Titty's behind him with another light.
Are they in line yet?
No. Top light's a little to the left of the lower.
Sing out when they're above each other.
Left a little.
John steers the boat.
Now!
Susan's at the prow with her head held low.
Left! Keep left. Right.
The boat lands on the shingles of the cove.
We've done it! This will win us the war! The Amazons think they're safe from us at night!
Day. John holds an index finger up to feel for wind.
Oh well. No war today.
We can row.
Too far. Have to wait until tomorrow.
We can do something else instead.
What?
We can go and explore. Where? Over there on the mainland.
They stand at the top of a waterfall.
Must be Niagara. We could get a barrel and bats down it.
Not today!
They troop on through the forest. Susan carries a wicker basket and Roger a long stick with a bag tied to it.
It's a real forest!
A jungle almost!
We better keep together.
A middle-aged man in a flat cap picks up a lump of turf and slings it on a smoking mound of earth. He pats it down with a shovel. Thin grey smoke lingers in the air as the children draw down a nearby hill and approach. They stop in their tracks as a shovel rises up from behind a Hessian curtain over the doorway of a thatched teepee. They look on as a grey-bearded old man emerges. He spots them.
Hello, you! Come to have a look, have you?
Good morning.
Oh, it's blowing up a bit.
He glances at the teepee.
Want to have a look inside, do you? Oh, generally want to.
Maybe.
Titty looks at John. He leads them into the small conical thatch structure. It's smoky inside as there's a small fire burning. The children cough. The old man follows them in.
Sit down!
Do you always live here?
Aye. When we're burning charcoal, someone has to keep the fire down, like day and night. That way the charcoal is smooth and black and good to use.
For artists to draw masterpieces with.
That's right, lass. Try a bit.
He proffers some charcoal bits and Titty takes one. She picks up some paper from the long thing they're sitting on and draws.
Would you like to see what we keep for look?
What is it?
A snake. Would you like to see it?
Yes.
You're sitting on it.
They spring up in fright. He reaches under the bench and produces a small box. The children follow him outside.
Young Billy!
The middle-aged man climbs off the smoking mound.
Dad been showing you around, has he?
Is he your son?
That's right.
He doesn't look much like a son.
Billy puts the box down on the ground, then picks up a stick, which he uses to lift the box's lid.
There. Come on.
He lifts out the snake on the end of the stick and puts it down on the ground. The children watch. It has a pattern of dark green diamond shapes running down the otherwise pale green length of it. He lifts it on the stick again.
Is it safe to touch?
I wouldn't. Never go near an adder. Mind how you're stepping in the woods. There's plenty about. If you happen to step on one, he'll bite. But he'll get out of the way if he is or sees you. Oh, look there. It's a bit of a hole. Out he comes. Like the adder is fire. Are you camping on the island?
Yes.
You had those blacket lasses with you yesterday, haven't you? We saw that little boat. I can remember when their mother and Master Jim used to come up here. And they were no bigger than you are.
The man on the houseboat?
Aye.
Captain Flint. We're going to fight with him.
Quiet, Roger.
You know, Dad, I think it'd be a good thing if we let him know what folks are saying. Oh, you're right. Will you be seeing those lasses again?
Yes, as soon as there's the wind for sailing.
What's wrong with today?
Well, this morning on the lake, there was a dead calm.
Oh, never mind. You tell them to tell their Uncle Jim.
But they can't. They're at war with him.
They'll tell him right enough. You tell them to tell him that young Billy, that's me, sent him word to put a good strong padlock on that houseboat of his if he's going to leave it alone at nights. Down in the pub, there's a deal too much talking going about that houseboat and the valuables inside. There's more than plenty of wild young lads that are up to anything without thinking twice.
We'll tell them.
Thank you very much for having us.
And thank you so much for letting us see your lovely serpent.
Goodbye.
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 Here!
They've left their basket. Susan runs back for it.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Billy and his dad stare after the children as they scamper off. Roger and Titty row the Swallow as John steers.
In! Pull! In! Pull! In! Pull! Go on! Give it your back! Go on! Pull! In! Pull! In! Pull!
John looks distant.
What is it, John?
How can I give a message to Captain Flint? He's our enemy now.
At the cove, a handwritten note has been pinned up above one of the lanterns. The Swallows arrive on foot, and John reads it.
Call to tell you that you'd jolly well better leave my houseboat alone. Once is quite enough, no joking. James Turner.
But we never touched his horrible houseboat.
He is a beast.
You'd better go and see him, John.
Let's go and sink his beastly houseboat.
No, Susan's right. I'll go and explain and give him his message.
And he's used my crayons, too.
She looks irked. Bloated, ginger-haired Uncle Jim packs clothes into a suitcase in his houseboat. He suddenly looks irate as he spots John approaching in the Swallow, He steps out onto the deck.
Now look here, did you find my note?
Yes.
Can you read?
Yes.
Did you read it?
Yes.
I told you to leave my houseboat alone. Now you're here again. Clear out, fast.
But I never...
And if you've got any more fireworks, the best thing you can do is drop them in the lake.
But I haven't.
Oh, that was the last one, was it? Well, you did enough damage with it.
I've never had any fireworks. At least, not since last November.
Now look here, that won't do.
I've never been near your boat. Well, never as near as this.
Then who did set fire to her?
John stares at middle-aged Jim.
Clear off. I've nothing more to say to you.
But I came to tell you.
Clear off. I don't like talking to liars. And don't let me see you here again.
Grey-suited Jim goes back inside the cabin, and John suddenly sits down in the Swallow. He grips the oars with a somber expression. Roger, Titty and Susan are swimming just off the island. Titty dips underwater and kicks her legs in the air. Roger watches as she comes up for air, then does the same again.
Why do you wave your legs in the air, Titty?
I'm trying to be a cobra, but it's quite difficult.
Susan's head bobs above the water.
Look, there's John!
See the parrot? Did you capture the houseboat?
They swim over to the Swallow.
What did he say when you gave him the message?
I didn't give him the message. He wouldn't let me.
Titty pulls herself up on the prow.
Did you declare war on him?
No.
He gets out of the boat.
He called me a liar.
He skulks off. Jim rows a rowboat with his parrot on board. Two suitcases rest at his feet, and the parrot perches in its cage behind him. He rows away from his stationary houseboat. The wind blows through the trees and grass of the island, and the swallows run to their lookout on the rocks.
You can't get a fairer wind than this.
Can we attack then?
In naval warfare, two things are important. To know exactly what you want to do, and to do it in the manner your enemy will least expect.
Amazons, beware.
The Amazons tip their boat over on a bank.
It's a fair wind for the swallows. All we have to do when they do come is to keep out of sight. And when they do come, we'll slip away quietly, go to the island, and when they return, we'll take Swallow. How do we manage all that? Ah.
John climbs a tree.
Take care, John.
He has a length of rope tied around his waist. It trails to the ground below as he climbs high up in the tree.
Fine place for a lookout. Let me out some more rope.
Susan does.
Tie the lantern on as I said, and then we'll hoist it up.
Titty holds the lantern as Susan ties the rope to it. Having draped the rope over a few high branches, John climbs down again.
I still don't see how we surprised them. Well, with this wind, they expect us to attack them and do it early enough to get back here in daylight.
Yes, of course.
But we don't. Not until dark, when they think we've given up. They don't know about our lights. Then we sail up their river, find the boathouse, and pinch their boat. Then we sail both boats back here.
But what happens if they attack us first?
We'll watch and wait for them on the lake all day.
Except me. I'll be staying here.
Are you sure you can manage all on your own, Titty?
Of course. I'd love to stay here.
You light the lighthouse lantern and hoist it up as soon as it starts to get dark. The candles in the small lanterns won't last long, so don't light them until you're sure we're coming. We'll give you an owl call to let you know it's us and not the enemy.
Aye, aye, sir.
What do I do when I've left you on the island?
It's obvious. You sail on to the next bay, while I wait for Swallow. Capture her and then come and join you. But I want to be there when you capture Swallow. You can't be in two places at once. It is the most exciting part.
Peggy scrubs away sullenly at the boat's hull. The Swallow's flag flies high on their tall mast as John hoists up the sail. On land, Titty unfastens its moorings. Susan sits down in the boat. Roger approaches.
What are you wearing?
You said put two of everything on.
I said bring, not put on to of everything. Pretend you're going to the North Pole.
All aboard!
Don't forget about the lights, Titty.
Aye, aye, sir.
Oh, wouldn't I have the telescope for keeping watch?
Yes, I think you ought.
Thank you.
Titty takes the telescope and pushes the boat out. John and Roger duck under the boom as the sail turns. Titty shouts from the shingle beach.
Swallows! Grab up!
Good luck, Titty!
Titty waves from the island as the swallow glides out on the lake, its sail billowing in the wind. Roger looks up from the prow as Susan and John haul the sail round to catch the wind from the starboard side of the boat. Titty sits back at camp writing in her jotter.
25 years ago this day, I, Robinson Crusoe, was wrecked on this desolate place.
Titty crawls across the ground, pretending to be shipwrecked. She clutches her parched throat and crawls on all fours to the campfire. She kneels upright.
What a good place for a camp. I'll build my hut here. The branches and moss. Can't be too tense. For one shipwrecked mariner.
She starts to loosen a tent rope, then pauses to consider.
Better not.
She tightens it again.
I'll leave the man Friday. When I find him.
She pokes her head into her and Susan's tent.
Still a very Susanish tent.
She takes a small vase of flowers from the tent and puts it outside on the ground. She rolls up one of the bed sheets. She moves some bedding to reveal three scuttling spiders.
I'll have to sleep up a tree for fear of ravenous beasts.
In a tree?
I'm not afraid of ravenous beasts anyway. Time for a feast.
Roger munches a pie.
Well, they can't have gone by. Come on, Sam, hurry up, sink!
It is all right.
They paddle in the shallows by the swallow while they eat. Titty eats by the campfire. Mrs. Walker scrambles up a nearby incline and parts some branches. Smiling, she peers over at Titty, who sits eating some sponge cake. Titty spots her mother and beams.
Man Friday!
Mrs. Walker strides briskly into camp and throws her arms around Titty, aboard the swallow.
Well, here goes. They must have had supper ages ago. I wonder what they're up to.
Won't be quite dark soon.
John rows away from the shore. Titty puts some butter on a hot frying pan with a knife. It sizzles.
I expect they've gone to meet the Blackett children. I'd heard you'd met them.
Man Friday oughtn't to know anything about them.
Very well, I won't.
Mrs. Walker mushes up corned beef.
What are you doing all by yourself?
Well, properly, I'm in charge of the camp. But while they're away, it doesn't matter if I'm Robinson Crusoe instead.
Mrs. Walker puts a corned beef burger into the frying pan.
Man Friday, would you mind telling me some of your life before you came to this island?
I was caught by some very savages. They put me in a huge stew pot and chanted strange songs.
Then what?
They lit a fire under the stew pot and began to dance all round me.
What did you do?
I waited till no one was looking. Then I jumped out of the stew pot and escaped.
Were you scalded badly?
Badly. But I buttered the places that hurt most.
She serves the hot corned beef to Titty, who goes to eat it too soon and spits it back out again. The Amazons are in their boat, hidden in the reeds.
What happens if they don't come?
They're bound to.
We just wait and watch.
Now for the enemy stronghold.
Quiet, everyone.
Mrs. Walker pushes her rowboat onto the lake.
Are you sure you'll be all right by yourself?
They'll be back soon.
Oh, I hope so. It'll be dark fairly soon. Wouldn't you like to come back with me? Just for tonight. We can leave a note for John.
I'd rather stay, thank you.
All right. Goodbye, Robinson Crusoe.
Goodbye, Man Friday.
Mrs. Walker rows back out across the lake. Titty waves from the shore and looks out at her through the brass telescope. Lowering the telescope, Titty lifts her skirt and takes a hanky from inside her knickers. She wipes tears from her cheeks.
Uffa, that's for looking too hard. Try the other eye.
Roger looks out from the prow of the Swallow.
We're in the river. Any sign of the enemy's boathouse?
No, Mr. May.
Shh. They mustn't hear us coming.
Quack, 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 quack.
What's that?
The Amazon's watch.
A duck.
Stir, you goat. Don't overdo it.
Evening is drawing in. At the cove, Titty tugs on the rope, feeding it through her hands to raise the lantern high into the tall tree. John rows along by the foot of a garden leading to the Grand Blackett House. Roger sees a skull and crossbones above the entrance of a stone boathouse.
There it is! There it is!
He points ahead. Susan mouths, "Be quiet." John rows steadily and they approach the arched entrance of the boathouse. A narrow platform like a jetty runs along the middle beneath the shelter. There are no boats to be seen. John steps out onto the platform. An envelope is pinned to a wooden post. It has a skull and crossbones doodled on it. John reads it.
To the Swallows.
John frowns at Susan and reads the note inside.
Ha ha, the Amazon pirates.
He screws it up.
Quite simple. They've hidden her up the river. It's an old pirate trick.
Shouldn't we be getting back then, John?
No. Let's go up the river. Please, John.
He considers.
It wouldn't take long. We know they haven't put to sea. We have been watching all day.
The Amazons watch from their boat hidden in the reeds. The Swallows row away from the boathouse.
Wildcat Island and the Amazons forever!
We've done them fairly brown.
They drive their oars into the water like gondoliers and push their boat out of the reeds. On the island, the lantern shines high up in the tree. It's dark and Titty sits alone at the campsite in the glow of the campfire. She throws some more wood on it and drapes a blanket around her shoulders. She picks up her copy of Robinson Crusoe. John rows the Swallow through waters strewn with lily pads.
This must be the place they call the lagoon. It's just the place for them to hide their ship. Susan, you take the oars now. I'll keep a lookout. I wish it wasn't so dark, though.
Something's pulling at my oars.
She loses her grip and the oar falls in the water. John fishes it out.
It's all right. It's only water lilies.
She struggles with the oars.
Clings onto them like octopuses.
Perhaps they were octopuses. Titty read out of a book how they'd put their arms out and grab people out of boats.
Nonsense, Roger. They're only flowers.
I wouldn't mind even if they were octopuses.
The Amazons spot a light in the houseboat.
Look! Uncle Jim must be back.
Inside, a man's hands rifle through the drawers. Another pair of hands sweep some crockery off a bureau and open it. The two unseen men turn the place upside down as they search through cupboards and bookshelves. One of them uncovers a large wooden chest. It has JT painted on its lid and is fastened shut with a padlock. The man yanks it, but it won't come off.
It's easier if you slope the oars down and forwards. That way, they don't go deep in the water and get stuck. I can't move the tiller.
It is all but completely dark now. John goes to the stern to inspect the rudder.
It's all stuck up with
stupid lily stalks between the rudder and the boat. They won't budge.
Careful.
Try now.
He sits back down.
There isn't any light at all.
We'll never find the Amazons now.
If we wait until morning, we might find her.
And what about Titty?
John considers.
We'll go back. She'll be worried.
He turns the boat around. Titty lies sleeping by the campfire, wrapped up snug in her blankets. The Amazons approach the island.
Look, what's that?
It's a lighthouse.
Very thoughtful of them.
Stand by to jibe.
Aye, aye, sir.
Titty wakes and looks around. The fire has gone out, but a solitary candle burns in a lantern by her side. Smiling, Titty throws back the blankets. She picks up an unlit lantern in one hand and the lit one in the other, then leaves camp. A real owl hoots in the forest.
Are you cold, Roger?
Rather.
Thank goodness we can sail at last. I'm going to raise the sail and reef. Even Father said not to be ashamed to reef a small boat in the dark.
John hoists up the sail. Titty positions the guiding lights just so, then runs down to the water's edge and looks out. There's no sign of the swallow. Her smile fades. She cups her hands and brings them to her mouth. She listens intently, then hoots again. Her eyes rove in the darkness. John sets a compass down in the swallow. Roger lies under a blanket with his eyes closed. John and Susan read the compass.
Almost exactly southeast. Now I'll have to tack all the way back. But short tack so as not to hit the shore.
But how are we going to know how far we've gone?
I'll count 100 on each tack. Susan, you'd better snuggle down now. I'll take the main sheet. I'll need your help pulling the islands off Rio.
Susan snuggles down with the blanket around her.
Six. Seven.
Watch the boom, Peggy!
Titty hides in the bushes as the Amazons sail into the cove.
Jolly good idea of those to put lights on the marks. What beats me is how they got here before us.
But they went up the river. They must have rowed like smoke.
It's unbelievable.
Hey, why isn't Swallow in the harbour?
They must have left her in the landing place. Lit the lights, and then scooted off to camp.
I bet they'll pretend they've been there for hours and hours.
Come on, let's give them a fright.
They run off uphill towards camp. When they're gone, Titty sneaks out and paddles out towards the Amazon.
Ahoy, swallows! Swallows, ahoy!
The Amazons look in the two tents. Titty climbs aboard their boat. The sail has been lowered flat across it. She grabs an oar and puts it in its rest on the side, at camp.
Ahoy there! Ahoy!
Swallows!
Swallows!
Ahoy! Ahoy!
Titty rows out onto the lake. The Amazons race down to the cove.
Swallows! Ahoy!
Where on earth are they? She must have drifted.
You can't have beached her properly.
Me?
She can't have drifted against the wind.
Then we've been done. They've outwitted us.
The swallows?
Who else, you chump-headed galoot?
What are we going to do? We're supposed to be in bed. And if we don't go to breakfast in the morning...
Shut up, Peggy. 98, 99, 100.
Ready? About!
John ducks under the boom of the sail as it sweeps across the boat.
1, 2...
Wouldn't Titty have liked this?
Liked what?
Sailing like this in the dark.
6, 7, 8, 9.
Out on the lake, Titty rests the oars inside the boat and stands up. She drops anchor from the stern.
57, 58, 59, 60, 61.
What's the matter?
Can't you hear it? The wind in the trees.
We must be near the bank. Quick, Susan, light the sail.
Roger, catch the yard as it comes down.
The sail collapses safely and nobody is hurt. The boat runs up against a wooden jetty.
Give me the painter. It's a landing stage, thank goodness.
John moors the boat.
What are we going to do now?
Stay here till first light. What about Titty? She's at the camp. She'll be all right. She's got a tent.
A worried-looking Titty beds down in the boat and covers herself with a blanket. The Amazons sit by a roaring fire in the Swallows' camp. John sits at the stern of the Swallow. He looks down at Roger and Susan asleep at his feet. He smiles and his eyes close. He begins to nod off. Nancy lies down by the fire next to a sleeping Peggy. John sleeps with his head resting on the side of the boat. Titty lies under the blanket on the Amazon. She wakes and sits up as the burglars head for the small island nearby in a rowboat.
We must be near it now.
Not yet. Look at the line those kids have got on the other island. Another 100 yards at least.
Damn it! Give us a hand.
I don't see why we couldn't have taken it with us.
Down. Mike, bring a car next week.
Blast it, why didn't you bring a chisel to smash it open?
It'll take more than a chisel.
Yeah. I just hope it'll be worth it.
Well, it's heavy enough. Whatever he keeps in there, it must be worth having. Come on then, let's get away from here.
Morning breaks and cows water in the lake. The Swallow is moving again. Roger's at the prow as usual, staring down into the water. Susan sits by John, who's holding the tiller. They spot a boat up ahead.
It's Amazon. She's adrift.
No, she's a tanker.
It's Amazon. It's Amazon.
Shh. They must be asleep.
Roger peers into the Amazon as they approach it.
It's Titty. It's Titty.
I've got her. I've got her.
Hooray. Well done.
Well done, Titty.
Well done.
Hooray, we've won the war.
They raise the Amazon's mast, and the two boats sail for the island. Sunlight glitters on the surface of the water. John and Roger are in the Swallow. Titty and Susan are in the Amazon. Peggy and Nancy throw a blanket over a tree on the island. Peggy waves to the Swallows. John repositions the sail as the two boats approach the island. Nancy stands with her hands on her hips.
Do you surrender?
We jolly well do, but hurry up!
No trickery!
Honest pirate!
Honest Indian too!
Honest Indian! Honest anything you like, but hurry up! We're supposed to be in bed!
John smiles to himself as Peggy and Nancy run along the elevated shoreline towards the cove. Peggy and Nancy join them on the shingle beach.
Captain Nancy, which ship is the flagship?
Swallow is. Yours was a great plan.
With luck, really. Titty was the real hero.
By thunder, able seaman. I wish you were in my crew.
Nancy, we must be going.
Goodness, I forgot.
We'll see you later.
Mother says we can come and camp here tonight.
Bye. Roger, time you're in bed.
But it's tomorrow.
I don't care if it's the day before yesterday. Quick march.
Susan marches young Roger up the beach. In the house, Mrs. Walker sits writing at a table by the drawing room window. John enters sheepishly.
Mother, I think I ought to talk to you.
I'll say you should. Why were you back so late last night? You know, after I left Titty, I spent a long time on the lookout for you.
We didn't get back till morning.
Oh, the Blacketts made you spend the night. Poor Titty.
It wasn't poor Titty at all. She did better than the rest of us. She captured the Amazon, all by herself.
Where were the Blacketts?
He drops his gaze.
On Wildcat Island.
And where were you?
He looks at her.
Well, we were up the Amazon River, where they live. And it got too dark. We had to wait until it was light enough to see again.
Don't you think that was very nearly like being duffers?
Well, it was rather, but it was war and our only chance. I promise I won't stay out at night again. Anyway, there's no need. The war's over and we've won. And nobody caught a cold or anything.
All right. But no more sailing at night and no more scrapes of any kind. We've only got 2 days left and I don't want to hear of any of you getting into any more trouble.
On the island...
Names and addresses, please.
The Swallows all stand up. It's a uniformed police constable and Jim.
My name is John Walker.
Name? Walker. Address?
Here.
Where?
Here.
Now that won't do. Where do you live?
In these tents.
Now look here. Stop this nonsense. You've gone too far this time. I've had enough.
Enough of what, Uncle Jim?
What the devil are you two doing here?
What is going on?
Now then, Miss Nancy, your uncle's houseboat was burgled last night. He thinks these children done it.
What rot! They never had anything to do with it. They weren't even here last night. We never did anything. The charcoal burners told us to come and warn you. And we rode over to tell you.
And you wouldn't listen.
The Bobby.
Oh, what about that firework burning Mr. Turner's roof then, eh?
That was us, not the Swallows. You deserved it. You haven't spoken to us all summer because you've been writing your stupid book.
They tried to warn you, but you wouldn't listen. And now you've been burgled, it serves you right.
You've been an awful pig to John.
John's eyes glisten. Round-faced Jim wears a broad-brimmed Panama hat. He steps aside for a moment and furrows his brow, then blinks and plods over to John, who stands with his head hung and his eyes downcast. He looks up as he's spoken to.
Young man, it's altogether my fault. I should have known you were telling the truth. Anyhow, I should have listened to you. I'm very sorry.
Jim puts out a hand. John shakes it. Susan pours Jim a cup of tea. The policeman has left.
What a cross-grained, curmudgeonly idiot. If I'd have listened to John, my boat looked at it 50 wildcats had had a scrimmage in it. And of course they took my cabin trunk.
Was it a heavy one?
It was, rather.
Did it have gold ingots in it?
Afraid not. Typewriter, diaries, old logbooks. And worst of all, the book I've been writing.
About your pirate past?
Well,
was it a very good book?
I doubt it. And now I might just as well not have written it.
And been more friendly all summer.
Don't rub it in.
Nancy smiles.
I didn't only come to warn you. I came to declare war on you as well.
Oh, really? That's very friendly of you. Why not do it now? Better late than never, or I'll do it for you. I challenge you to capture my boat at 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon.
Accept! Accept!
Blood and thunder, death or glory!
He's thrown down his hat. John hands it back to him.
He can be a jolly good pirate when he wants to.
Oh. Well, I must be off.
Titty runs up to him.
Captain Flint, I know where the treasure's here.
What?
I heard some pirates burying it last night.
Steady on, Titty.
They had a huge box. It was very heavy.
You were dreaming.
I wasn't. I heard them.
It's the middle of the night.
Captain Flint, you must believe me. It's true.
I only wish I could. Well,
Goodbye, swallows and Amazons.
Titty looks dismayed. Early morning. Titty sneaks out of her tent and into the boys' tent. She leans quietly over the sleeping boys and pulls Roger's blanket back. She gently shakes his shoulder to rouse him and brings a finger to her lips. He sits up and she beckons him out of the tent. They row the swallow together on the lake.
Pull harder, Roger!
The boat stops on the shingly beach of the smaller island. Titty pulls the boat ashore. She hurries off to explore as Roger moors the boat. Roger scampers after her and falls over. Titty returns to him.
Which knee was it?
The one which I didn't scrape before. At least, not the one which got scraped last, but the other one.
Titty bandages it with a handkerchief. Titty walks along the shore by herself. She stops and picks up a pipe from the rocks. Squinting at it, she sniffs the end and pokes her finger into it.
Roger!
Roger emerges from behind some trees.
Look, the treasure must be here. I found this. One of the pirates must have dropped it.
Roger kneels on a fallen tree trunk and it lifts to reveal the chest.
We found it! We found it!
Jim fires his little cannon. They're attacking Jim's boat.
Fleet, on our attack! Amazons forever!
Roger pounds a fist against the front of the Swallow as they draw closer to Jim's houseboat. The Amazon approaches from the other side. As the Swallows board Jim's boat, he springs out onto the deck wielding two cushions.
Get on board!
Jim and the Swallows have a pillow fight on deck.
Death to Captain Flint! One of the Amazon forever! Down with the white elephant!
Not by my tag flight! Elephants! Elephants forever!
We've won, your flag is struck!
So it is. Well, that was quick work. I surrender!
Bind him! Come on, bind him!
They tie him up with rope as Roger dons Jim's oversized pith helmet.
Don't laugh!
Hands up for making him walk the plank!
Just Peggy, Nancy and Titty raise their hands.
Look here, no weakening now. It's too good a plank to waste.
Don't you think we ought to untie his hands and give him a chance to swim for it?
Peggy nods at Nancy.
All right, we agree. All hands up. Bandage his eyes and make him walk the plank.
A clean handkerchief, I hope?
Mine. Well, it was clean yesterday.
Will someone help that pirate out of my helmet and put it on my head? A last wish.
Susan removes the pith helmet from Roger's head and places it on Jim's. Peggy has blindfolded him. Titty and Susan guide him onto the plank.
Mercy.
Now walk, you son of a sea dog.
The children watch as Jim reluctantly walks the plank. He disappears beneath the water.
Perhaps he can't swim. I never thought of that.
He surfaces. John and Susan board the Swallow.
Shark! Shark! This is difficult!
Are there really sharks there?
A rope! A rope! Ah, my foot!
Are they ready yet?
John and Susan hand Jim's chest up to Peggy.
Nancy says, are you ready?
Almost. Just a moment.
Jim treads water and thrashes about helplessly.
A rope! A rope! You hard-hearted pirate! A rope!
He's been in the water a good long time.
And you'll never be in league with the natives again.
Never! A rope!
They return the chest to Jim's boat.
All right, Nancy! We'll give you a rope.
I'd rather have a rope ladder. The one just there by the springboard. I mean the peg! A rope! Cut the end over!
Titty and Nancy throw Jim a rope ladder and help him aboard the boat. He stands there dripping wet.
Well, that's that. Even Amazons aren't lucid enough to make a man walk the tank twice in one day. Are all my sins forgiven? If so, after every great sea battle, there's always a big banquet. And there's one waiting for you inside.
Captain Flint, we've got a surprise for you.
And what's that, able seaman?
They show him.
My book. Goodness me, what a find!
Jim gawps. They eat cakes and tarts in the cabin.
Say pieces of eight. Come on, pieces of eight.
Pretty funny, pretty funny.
You're not fit to be a pirate's parrot.
The ice still seems pretty firm. I think we ought to start on them straight away. So, here are our ladies.
He hands out ice cream.
John.
You mustn't eat ices after walking the plank. They'll give you a chill.
By Jove, I suppose I shouldn't.
You did walk the plank most awfully well.
Practice.
Jim's now in dry clothes. He unveils a cake with two little boats on it.
The swan on the Amazon!
That's what they're supposed to be.
Jolly well not fair. It's scores and lessons for us while you junk it about and enjoy yourself all the winter in Africa.
I'm not enjoying myself. It's really quite a hard job.
I wish I was going to Africa. I'd see forests full of parrots.
I'll bring you back one there. It's the least I can do. Which kind do you prefer?
I like green ones best.
Oh, I may as well bring one all round for you, if that's what you want.
No, thank you. Could we have a monkey instead?
Oh, with or without a tail?
Oh, with a tail, please. The others are only apes.
John puts down his bowl of ice cream.
It has been a grand holiday.
But much too short.
Oh, cheer up. You're coming back next year, aren't you?
Next year and for all the other years, forever and ever.
Uncle Jim, do play your accordion.
Say pieces of eight, just once, please.
Well, show him high timbers.
He never said it for us.
I say, Titty, it is a long time to wait till I come back in the spring. Why not have Polly now? You always said you like green ones.
Am I really to take him?
Of course you are. You've earned him 10,000 times over.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, won't you be very lonely without him?
I have to think of him too, you know. He is a young parrot, and it's much better for him to be with young people like you than with an old retired pirate like me.
He's not so very old.
Come along now. All sing. What shall we do with the drunken sailor?
What shall we do with the drunken sailor? What shall we do with the drunken sailor? Right in the morning.
Hooray, and up the rising.
The swallows and the Amazons set off across the lake in their boats.
Thank you.
Fluffy white clouds float in the sky above the rolling countryside as little waves ripple on the surface of the placid lake. The Amazon recedes into the distance as Nancy and Peggy head for home. The Swallow moves slowly into the foreground, with John at the stern manning the tiller, the girls in the middle, and Roger at the prow. Titty helps swing the sail to the starboard side, and they proceed in the same direction as the Amazon. The children sail away across the lake. ITFC audio description.